Blog Talk Radio.
Fans, welcome to the show here on another Friday or another Sunday afternoon, rather. Sign Guy, QT, and Randy Zellers with you, and today we bring to you our sports entertainment tribute to basketball. There's been a link between pro wrestling and basketball for many, many years. All major NBA arenas have held professional wrestling events in it. We have seen professional basketball players such as Dennis Rodman and Karl Malone enter the wrestling world. We have seen Kevin Nash and The Undertaker and Lex Luger all come out of collegiate basketball to become superstars in pro wrestling. So there is a link. And we have with us so far today two people that have also been in both worlds. We have referee Max Recon. And from our neck of the woods, we have with us Jackson Price. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
My first question, I'll ask this for Max first. Could you tell us what level of basketball did you play and how did you end up transitioning that into professional wrestling?
Okay, so I started playing basketball in the second grade. I played all the way up through eighth grade for basketball. And then while I was still in the Marine Corps, I was on a wheelchair basketball team, trying out for the All-Marine Paralympic team. So I've got a little bit of experience in basketball in a couple different ways.
And how'd you transition that into getting into the wrestling industry?
Well, I don't know if I really used it to transition into the wrestling industry. I guess if you want to take it from an athletic background, then absolutely. Especially in wheelchair basketball, you're using your arms all the time. And I did train to be a wrestler, but some medical mishaps incurred, and I had to change what I did so I could continue living my dream of being in wrestling, and I just changed from wrestler to referee.
Jackson Price, same question for you. What level of basketball did you play, and how did you jump from there into the wrestling world?
So, for the people that don't know me, I'm 7 feet tall. So, being tall is something that I've always been. And I actually did not start playing basketball until high school. I tried a couple of times when I was younger, but when you're really tall and if you don't work on it at a young age, you're very uncoordinated, which is what I was. I had a little body, I was skinny, and I had a big head and huge feet, and I couldn't do anything with them. So it wasn't until high school that I met some coaches that were willing to work with me. And so I only played 2 years in high school. Then I went to college and I played community college for 2 years. One of the years I redshirted. And then the plan was actually to transition that into a 4-year school. I was starting to shop around But then I had some medical issues as well. I had heart surgery, and that kind of derailed me. I tried to get back into it after that, but I think I kind of just lost my love for it at that point in time. And so that was kind of the last time I played ball. I didn't use it to get into wrestling because, shit, that was my early 20s. And I didn't get into wrestling until my 30s. So, you know, there's a big difference with basketball and with wrestling because it's your footwork. Footwork is completely different in both of them. And that's something I had to learn coming from basketball because I move my feet a lot, but then learn not to do that. So it's definitely a little more difficult, I will say. Wrestling is by far more difficult than basketball. I mean, I never played at the professional level, but, you know, playing college and playing with some professionals before, one of the coolest things I got to do actually was before the Seattle Supersonics were disbanded, we got to do a practice with them in Seattle and when I was playing college ball. And so that was tons of fun. They whooped us, but it was really cool just to have that opportunity to play an NBA team and see that caliber, which is just a whole nother level.
And when you practiced against the Sonics, were you practicing against like the Gary Payton era Sonics?
This would have been 2005. So 2005.
I think he may have been traded at that point, probably Ray Allen era.
Yeah, no, Allen was there. He tried dunking on me.
Ray Allen era, okay. Max, you referee for pro wrestling, like we said. When you were playing basketball, did referee ever come into the equation? Did you perhaps think of officiating basketball as well, or did you go into wrestling not really thinking of officiating until the in-ring wrestling part was not an option for you?
No, I never considered being an official referee for any other sport, honestly. I did fail to mention earlier, and it's terrible of me, I also coached my son's basketball team this past fall and winter to get myself back into the love of basketball a little bit. As far as the wrestling is concerned, wrestling has always been my dream. I was that kid bouncing on the bed, bouncing on the couch, bouncing in the back of my dad's pickup truck, you know, doing elbow drops and you name it. I'm an 80s baby, so I had that golden era, USWA, WWF, WCW, early ECW, Smoky Mountain, you get the idea. That's what I watched as a child. And my love has always been for wrestling. So that's what got me into wrestling was I wanted to pursue a dream and see what I could do with it.
Jackson, like you said, you're 7 feet tall. And I've noticed over the years, most of the people that transition from basketball to wrestling are the big positions like power forward or centers. You have guys like Kevin Nash, The Undertaker, Lex Luger, Barry Windham, all were from basketball, and they were all taller guys in pro wrestling. You don't see many people that transition out of, say, the guard position or the small forward position at a really high basketball level make the jump to wrestling. Why do you think it is that you don't see many of the smaller basketball positions transition, but we see quite a bit out of the taller positions?
That's a good question. I don't know, probably because, I mean, when you're tall, you're an oddity. So in the basketball world, being tall is common, and you want to be tall. The taller, the better, so to say. In the wrestling world, you want to be tall. Taller, the better as well. So, I mean, just thinking about it, like, because you mentioned Karl Malone in WCW, and so then I just think John Stockton. You know, somebody like John Stockton, he was a phenomenal player, quick and everything, but as far as wrestling goes, like, what would he have to offer? What could he bring in there? Unless all of a sudden he put on a bunch of size, or he's doing, you know, flips and stuff like that, then okay. But otherwise, you know, there's nothing special. But Karl Malone, he was a name, but also he's a big dude. And so he's got something to offer just because his size. And like you said, Kevin Nash as well. If he was smaller, nobody would know who Nash is, but he's a big guy. So you come in there, you got muscles, you got some height. And I just think it's probably easier that way, just to transition in those bigger positions. Plus, all positions in basketball, you get beat up, but definitely when you're under the bucket, you get beat up a lot more and you do a lot more beating up. When you're tall, the referees, so no offense over there to Max, but the refs love to look for the tall guys. And we tend to, I'm not going to say unbiasedly, but we probably get a couple extra fouls called on us that necessarily shouldn't have been. But it's just because you can see them better. We're the big guy. We knock people down. And, you know, we probably get fouls. We get fouled that don't get called because we're just expected to push through it. So it's just, it's a little bit of a harder spot, I think. And, you know, when you, like you said, you're playing down under the bucket and you get tough. And in the wrestling world, you got to be tough too. So easy transition.
Very well said. Now, Max, in pro wrestling, we have not seen a ton of basketball-related gimmicks. Sugar Dunkerton springs to mind when he was doing sort of a basketball gimmick earlier in his career. We've seen basketball players, like we mentioned, do celebrity matches and that type of thing, but not something where you see a lot of basketball-influenced characters. There was Slam Dunk on the original Women's of Wrestling, but outside of that, not too many. Why do you think that you don't see a ton of people doing basketball-related gimmicks like you see other types of gimmicks where there's several of each?
All right. Well, again, yes, I am a independent wrestling referee, but I feel like I've taken in a lot of knowledge about wrestling and the business in the 8 years that I've been doing this now. And to answer your question, a gimmick, an actual wrestling gimmick, it's not easy. Everybody wants to try to pull off a gimmick, but they don't know how to do it right. And I don't ever want to call individuals gimmicks, but one of the best that I can think of right now is Warhorse. I've known him since he was Jake Parnell with the Viking War Party back at the Coliseum Championship Wrestling here at Evansville. And yes, the Viking was a gimmick, but it was something completely different than what Warhorse is now. Danhausen is another gimmick that is done right. I think Orange Cassidy is great. Not everybody that does the old school style, you know, the wrestler, they don't always agree with, oh, that gimmick's not going to work. Well, just because they wouldn't do it, you know. And I'm not trying to get yelled at or have a finger wagged at me. How dare you? I'm not trash talking anybody. But as far as the gimmicky days, like basketball, I'm not going to say it wouldn't work, because even though I don't know if Shug D would even consider that what his actual gimmick was. It was just his personality, if that makes sense, at least in my opinion. He's always had monikers, but he's always been Shug D, you know? I think if they're going to do a gimmick, they steer away from being another type of sports player. You know, it's one thing if you came from the sport, Mongo McMichael for football. Not sure if that's the greatest example, but, you know, Steve Green, there's athletes from other sports that came into wrestling. They didn't necessarily use it as their gimmick. It's just what they were known from. And, you know, it was just the easiest thing to come off of. Again, that's just my opinion.
Now, Jackson, being someone that has collegiate basketball experience and coming from the basketball world, even though it wasn't immediate into wrestling, did you ever consider incorporating sort of a basketball-style gimmick into what you do, or was that something that never crossed your mind?
That actually never crossed my mind. To think about it, to have a good gimmick, you need to live it. And so to live like a basketball gimmick would just be corny, I feel like. Again, it could be done, I'm sure. I just don't think I could do it. It's just not something, trying to work it into the ring or promos and things like that. Again, it could be done. It's just a little corny, in my opinion. And I just don't think a lot of people would relate to it. Or they just wouldn't know what to do. I just feel like it'd be a little goofy.
Now, looking at the athletic aspect of things, Max, you played in standard basketball in your younger years and then did the wheelchair basketball, which is a different type of skill set and abilities, I would think. How different was it in basketball as far as the actual physical training for and executing compared basketball to wrestling?
There's both a lot of cardio involved. I mean, that's how they're the same. Wheelchair basketball is, okay, it's just like regular basketball, except literally you're in a wheelchair. The rules are the same. The 3 seconds in the paint isn't the same. Jump balls, everything to a T is the same. So you have to prepare and condition yourself the same as you would in regular basketball. You just do it in a wheelchair. So suicide sprints are the same, just done in a wheelchair. Your cardio's up. You're doing layup drills, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I didn't really see anything different there. Wrestling is a whole different aspect, though. You need to warm up your whole entire body, but you need to do certain stretches, say a pre-match stretch. You know, you don't want to overdo it. You just want to loosen yourself up. And again, I know I'm the referee, and I respect that Jackson's the wrestler, and I'm sure he could tell you he goes through some kind of little pre-match stretch or whatever it is he does. Everyone in the wrestling business that has a physical part to do with it should at least warm themselves up, stretch themselves out, hitting the ropes. For referees, a training day for me might just be counting. getting my counts to make sure they're the same no matter what, getting the speed. I walk in a horseshoe in a U-shape to prevent myself from getting in the way of the hard camera as much as possible. Yes, it still happens sometimes, but it, as long as you can get out of the way in a quick manner, you usually don't get yelled at about it. It depends on the promotion and how serious it's taken. And I hate to say that, but yes, there are promotions that take it way more serious than other promotions, which is fine. I actually like that. I like to work for a good team when I'm going to new promotions and such. But yeah, it's all about cardio. It's about breathing. It's a basketball player may need to play the entire game, and their cardio needs to be up to where they can play four quarters. Wrestlers have anywhere between sometimes 30 seconds and 30 minutes to an hour, and they have to be able to go as well as the referees need to be able to go that entire time. So I would say cardio is the same. It should be taken just as serious, I suppose. But not to get off path too much, with myself specifically, I have had 9 knee surgeries. I was hit by a roadside bomb in Iraq in 2007. I didn't have any shrapnel go through me or anything like that. I just got bounced around inside my Humvee really, really bad. I'm blessed. I know that. But on my 7th knee surgery, they put 2 screws in my nerves. So the area basically surrounding my right knee is dead. It took a very long time. Through vestibular rehab, learning to walk correctly, learning how to use my leg with that area being numb now. So I'm not always on the go anymore. I'm also about to turn 38 years old. I try to save my bursts of energy for the matches that are the headliners, so to speak, or the matches where there's competitors in the ring that are going to give it their all, and in return, I need to give it my all for them. It's the least I can do, you know. So I'm not 7 feet tall, but I am 6'1" and about 220. I'm a broad, you know, I'm just a broad guy. I've always been. So I have that going against me in the wrestling world, because if I don't mean this in a derogatory, but cookie cutter, they want the referees to be smaller, shorter, make the wrestlers look big. Do you think I'm going to make Jackson look small?
You know, I don't think you would.
There are wrestlers out there for me that they could use to their advantage to be like, man, we know the referee's a big dude, but man, they are so much bigger still. Like, it makes you appreciate the actual height of the individuals that are in the ring. So, but I apologize for getting off path. But yes, the cardio is about the same. The workout regimens are, in their own ways, they're the same, but they're different. You just have to know how to decipher between the two, I guess.
Jackson, what about you? What would you say is the similarities and the differences between the actual physical skill sets and training for each sport?
Well, in basketball, it's not a work. So you'll be potatoing people. When I played, I had a reputation in high school because I took out some teeth when people got too close to me. So they caught an elbow. And my elbows are right there. So I've knocked out teeth before. I've gotten in fights with a ref. I've gotten in fights with other players. You know, and again, I mean, it's not, none of that's a work. So that stuff's all real. But as part of that, you also train for those things. So during practice, we would get aggressive. And I'll tell you that going from high school, where obviously it's a high school, so things are regulated to a point, that, you know, training is, like Max was saying, you're doing lots of suicide runs. And we did hill stuff here, so we would run a mile hill. And then so we'd sprint down, up the hill and back down the hill and throw up on the bottom usually. So lots of running, just lots and lots and lots of running. Once you get that down, then you start working on the basketball portion of it. It wasn't too physical in high school. In our practices, we would work on probably some pushes, kind of running into people, things like that, but nothing too crazy. It wasn't until college when we started to get really physical. Because, well, in high school too, we would do dive drills. And so you're diving for the ball. And, you know, I'm sure everybody's been on a gym floor at some point. They're not soft. I mean, a ring's not soft, but a ring's softer than the gym floor, I can tell you that. And you're diving onto that floor full speed, full body weight. And so we would do that a lot. But then in college, we call them run-throughs. So what happened is you would have a guy down on the block, and his whole point was to take a charge. And we would practice taking charges and giving charges. And so you would run from the other side of the court down there, smash into the dude. He has to then bump, take that on the hardwood and hopefully not hurt himself. And then you have to try and make it either look convincing or not convincing, depending on the situation. And then same with the guy, he needs to make his bump look convincing or non-convincing, depending on what's going on. And so when you have a bunch of college kids doing that, I'd say it got aggressive. There was a fight one time between me and another guy. I hit him too hard. He didn't like that. And so, but yeah. And then with wrestling, it's definitely a lot of cardio. It's more cardio than basketball almost, just because I think with basketball, you have a second or two, depending on your position. You get set up, you start working things. You can hold the ball, you can catch your breath, you can move around a little bit, you figure out your next move. Where in wrestling, you're going through your spots and working everything out and just getting after it. And you're in a small area, so you don't have a lot of room to move around. And everybody's watching a team in basketball, whereas, you know, people are being watched individually in wrestling. And so there's a lot of cardio and strength. Those are definitely important to have just because, you know, one, everybody wants to be strong and big and muscles look cool. But you also want to be able to safely work with your partner. And if you're not strong enough to either A, lift them or set them down, then they potentially get hurt. And then that's on you. And you don't want to do that. And so, you know, it's really important just to know your strengths, like physical-wise, and then the cardio as well. Because, again, you know, you might have a 30-minute match sometime. You might be in a freaking rumble of some sort where you come in at number two or you're in the beginning and you're in the whole time. And so, and I've done that before, and it was hard. I didn't even realize it. Like, this was a couple years ago, and so my cardio was terrible. And I was in this rumble for, gosh, it was probably like 25 minutes at that point, and I was exhausted. And so I actually, like, slid out and hid under the ring, well, a little bit, just so I could catch my breath, and then came back in. It was just, man, it was crazy. But, yeah, definitely the training is a lot different. You focus on individual things here, whereas, again, basketball, it's all team effort and everything you're working on. And, you know, the functionality of shooting a hoop or doing a layup or dunking and all those, it's a lot different than a power slam or a punch or a kick. And so just working on your individual things constantly just to get better and better.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host, Randy Zellers, is standing by. I'm sure Randy's got questions for the two of you, so Randy, go ahead and take it away.
All right. What's up, Max? What's up, Jackson? Long time no see. All right, all right. My question to both of you guys, I know when you guys have spare time, you guys like to watch movies. What is your favorite basketball movie? Max, I'll start with you.
Jesus. Favorite basketball movie?
Yeah, because I know there's been movies out with basketball or something having to do with basketball.
Does
or
basketball
if you can't say
count?
That, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
I'm a comedy
that's
person.
Basketball.
I didn't want to say Space Jam, even though I do love that movie. But I would definitely go with basketball, that for me anyway.
Yeah, that was a funny movie, and I'll tell you this much: that was a funny ass movie. I mean, basketball. During your transition of going from basketball, going from basketball to wrestling to reffing, I know in between those times you had some good times and you had some hard times. On a scale of 1 to 10, and you survived, would you go through that again?
I wouldn't even blink twice about it.
All right. All right, man. And let's see here. And Jackson, how about you, man? What was your favorite basketball movie that you liked to watch? I mean, it could be growing up, whatever.
Oh, no. I got to go back to my boy Woody, and it's White Man Can't Jump. Love that movie.
Oh, man. Hey.
Yeah, that's
a
good
one. That. Yeah, that's a good one, too. And you know, actually, the producers from that, they were going to make a spinoff called Black Men Can't Surf.
I'm glad they didn't.
To tell you the truth, I mean, I don't think Wesley Snipes wouldn't want to get up in that water with all them sharks up in there anyway.
No.
That's
true. No. See, I forgot I could have said Above the Rim. I needed time to think about it, man. And I was a 90s West Coast rap. Like, I loved it. So, yeah. But, again, that's more of a serious deal, and I'd rather watch a funny movie every day of the week. So, yeah, I'm going with basketball still.
Yeah. Yeah, and White Man Can't Jump. That was a funny movie. And, I mean, gosh. And let's see here. And with you, Jackson, I mean, I know you're tall. I've seen you. I've seen you in action in the ring. You and I never shared a ring. but that would come sooner. I mean, that would come later on down the line. How was your during your transition with coming from basketball and then coming from basketball, but going to, you can say, a play fight sport, because that's all what it is. Wrestling, it's play fighting. Yeah, you can't get hurt and stuff like that. Did it take you long to get the concept, or do you feel that every promoter just sees you like, oh, you're big, you can make me a lot of money?
No, well, I definitely don't have that latter part. I'm still learning. The one thing I love about this sport, and this goes for all sports, is you can never be perfect at it. It's something that you have to continuously practice. I'm lucky enough that a buddy and I own a ring, and so weekly we're doing drills, working on stuff, and I just get better and better every day that I'm doing it. And so, yeah, I just got to keep practicing.
Yep. Well, that's and that's good. And you know what? And I'm glad that you said that too, because a lot of other folks, I mean, I know a lot of other wrestlers don't really want to say, like, I'm still learning, or I've been in the game for 10 years. I mean, I've been in the game for 10 years too, and I don't have no problem saying I'm still learning. Maybe, you know, some of the, you know, how we started and how we got into it. I would say, like, with you guys got into it at a great time where you got people around you that want to share. What I mean by sharing, I mean by sharing information, sharing philosophy and stuff. I mean, when I first started, I was around some selfish motherfuckers when I first started. And that there is, you know, that there can actually tick a wrestler off when people don't want to share. And let's see here. Shoot. Well, besides basketball, did you guys play any other sports? Like, besides basketball, did you guys play football, baseball, or anything like that?
I did. I played football, baseball, track, all again throughout grade and middle school. Once I got to high school, I dropped all sports except for football. That was just the thing that I wanted to do.
All right. All right.
Yeah,
well, how about you, Jackson?
I did track throughout. I would, I think like middle school, not high school. And then when I was playing college ball, I played track for a year as well. Just to work on my cardio. So I did a little dual there. And then I did a year of soccer in 10th grade. And that was to work on my footwork for basketball. So I did that, and I set the record for most red cards in the season.
Nice.
And see, there's a trend when I play sports. I get aggressive, and I was a goalie. And so if you came in my box, woof, you're looking for a fight half the time. It got bad. So I could only do a year of that. They didn't want me to come back.
Oh, man. Well, hey, you know, I give it up for soccer. I always thought soccer was a wuss sport, but compared to soccer and basketball, you got to have your cardio over there, because I would not want to be going down the court, like, be huffing and puffing, and guess what? Halfway down the court, you're blowing up.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I'm a soccer dad.
In soccer, contact is really – it's like an unspoken rule. They don't talk about it. You're not allowed to use your hands, but you can use your elbows and your forearms.
Yep.
And so that's how you smash into everybody. And so one thing I had to learn was, like you said, when you're running down the field and you have the ball, people are hitting you, like they're running into you, trying to knock you over, and you have to still keep that ball. And that footwork and cardio behind that, like I said, I did that, and it just completely changed my movements forever, and it really helped my agility just because that. And I definitely had a new love for, or appreciation for, soccer after that.
Yeah, I heard that. Oh, man. And I know, like, when wrestling shows used to go frequently before the whole coronavirus. Did you guys like going to, do you guys have any favorite road stories? It don't matter. Max, you can go ahead and go.
Okay. I don't know what is too much to say, and I know that sounds stupid, but wrestler-referee relationships, you know what I mean? Like, everybody and their mom knows about Andre the Giant and referee Tim White. being very close. It's not a mystery. I don't want to put anybody out there that maybe doesn't want to, and I'm not saying it's because it's me. It's just for that kizze-fizze.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get you.
But to be fair, I do a lot of road trips by myself. I'm very independent. I would rather get myself to a show and be in a car for 11 hours by myself than to have someone flake out on me or, oh, this fell through. Sorry, man, you're on your own. Shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, okay, I got you. I got you, man.
Yeah, like I could list, and I have so many memories. I have so many road trip treasures. There are some trips that I still want to take. Corona, COVID-19 did put a huge damper in a lot of that. This was supposed to be my first WrestleMania weekend this year. All that.
Same with everybody.
Right.
Yep.
I almost didn't do it. Well, I didn't do it because it got shut down. But I originally wasn't going to go at all because at the beginning of the year, I did the 3-day Evolve camp down in Florida.
Ooh.
Evolve was heavily in my sights last year. And again, being a referee of my size, having a beard, having tattoos, I don't shave for anybody, okay? I don't make enough to shave my beard. I shaved for 8 years in the Marines. I don't shave for anybody. I shaved for Evolve.
Yeah.
Because I knew that's what they look for, and I wanted to show that I was willing to do whatever it takes to succeed.
Yeah.
So
I get you.
I did a couple of shows in Indianapolis and Livonia and Chicago. And in Atlanta, I started wearing sleeves for them over my tattoos. My personal beliefs aside, it doesn't matter. I don't think my tattoos take away from matches. I don't think it distracts anybody, but just in case it does, again, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. But I'm the same referee with or without a beard, with or without tattoos. I give you my all. I keep it professional the whole time. And WWE bought Evolve, so that's no longer in my cards. So I have to look for what's next for me.
Yeah.
As a referee, I am taken care of for a few promotions, and they mean everything to me, and they will get first pick every time. But as a referee, we don't get rich, and I'm not saying wrestlers do. But to be a referee in wrestling, in order to make it, you have to have a passion for this. You have to have a passion for it. So that's another thing that the wrestlers do notice, is when there's a referee that wants to be there, wants to make the drives, wants to pitch in, wants to pay their dues, help set up the ring, tear down the ring. No, it's not beneath me to do any of that. And I can do it to a 4-side or a 6-side ring. I've done both. I take pride in that. Go ahead.
Tell me, how was it doing the 6-sided ring? Because that was something on my bucket list that I actually wanted to do, was to be out of promotion when they had that. Hell, if I had a promotion, I would have done it. But how was that putting that sucker together? Because I know that has to be confusing as hell.
It's really not. Like the every every post has the same markings as whether it's a 4 or 6. You put the rails in just the same. You just have to space. It's a little bit more difficult as far as the spacing. I guess that would be the one key thing that's different between a 4 and a 6 is the spacing of each post and getting it right to where it does connect, and you can start putting the bars and everything, the boards. There's more odd cutout boards because of the 6 side. So piecing it's more of piecing together is more, it's more difficult piecing together a 6 side than it is a 4, but actually putting it together, it's no different.
Okay. Well, shoot. Well, Jackson, I know you got some stories, my man. I mean, who was your favorite, you know, who was your favorite Conrads to ride in the car with? And, you know, just let it all out there. You can say a little bit, you can say a lot. I remember seeing you guys on live when you guys used to do that live stuff, going to different shows.
So, does it have to be wrestling car story? Because I don't really have any good road trip stories from wrestling, to be honest.
Either or.
But I do miss traveling with Chase James, another local here in Washington.
That's the homie.
Everything got shut down. We always had a good time. But so I do merchandise for this local band out of here called the Nixon Rodeo. Shout out to Nixon Rodeo. I'm plugging them right now.
All right.
And I started doing that just because I wanted to travel around with them. And this was before I was wrestling. So I think I started with them in 2012. And so we quite frequently make trips down to Boise, which is about 8-9 hours, depending on the day. And we used to have this old piece of crap van. We called it Millhouse. Named after the president, Nixon, so his middle name, Millhouse. And so this van, one of the times, the brakes went out, and we still drove it, going down a hill, fully loaded van with gear, with one brake, one drum brake on the front wheel. And we're going down this hill, and I look over at the drummer, my buddy, and I'm like, dude, this is going to be rough. He's like, should we pull over? What should we do? I said, nope, we're just doing it. And so I floored it. I said, we're just going to go for it right now. And we went down this hill, smoke just coming out of the damn van, brakes not working. And I'm just like, if we hit something, it's going to be one hell of a mess. So everybody hold on. And we just rallied down that hill. We made it all the way back home. We got the brakes fixed. So that was good.
That was
fun. One time. Again, driving back from Boise, I was probably up for 36-plus hours straight, and it was middle of the night, and I was zoning out, and this is very unsafe. Do not do this at home. And I was in the wrong lane on the highway driving, and my buddy looks at me. He's like, oh, my God, are you okay? And I'm like, oh, I'm doing just fine. I'm playing chicken with the cars. There were no cars, luckily, and I was on the complete wrong side of the road thinking that I saw cars because I was so out of it. And so he tells me, you need to pull over. I'm like, duh, I got this. We can rally this. Just turned up the music and kept going. Oh, man. Yeah, those are all very dangerous car road trip stories. The stuff like that is when you're in a road trip, like talking about the band, because there's, you know, what, 4 or 5 of us in there, and so just talking about music and dick jokes and eating Skittles and rallying in a van.
And ain't nothing wrong with none of that shit. I tell you that. And I mean, with the band and stuff like that, did you play an instrument or nothing, or you just tour around with them, you know, help them out and shit?
Yeah, I would just do their merch for them.
Oh, okay. Because
we had a running gag with the band. So what happened originally is they always had, like, girlfriends that would do their merch and things like that. But then people, obviously, they would break up and it made it hard.
Yeah.
I told my buddy, yeah. I was like, hey, man, I'll give it a try. I love music and hanging out with you guys. And so he's like, okay. So then I just became their unofficial merch guy. And then
hey,
the joke was always trying to sell more merch than everybody else. And most of the time I did that. And we're talking some pretty big bands too. I was pretty proud of myself. Good at selling. And it proves that you don't need a pair of tits to sell stuff. So I
you
did a good job with
Skippy
that.
You on that one. I heard that shit. Oh, no, because there's actually you and I actually share a couple things in common. One, we got started at wrestling in our 30s. And two, yeah, I mean, you hang out with your buddies, I mean, for the rock band and stuff. I do the same thing for hip-hop artists. I don't say rappers. Rappers is, it's more hip-hop because hip-hop tells stories. Rap, they just glorify bad shit, you know. When I was locked up, yeah. And I was like, yeah, when you was locked up, you was running around the block not getting your butt taken. Okay, yeah, you know. Or glorifying that they committed crimes. And pretty much, you know, for hip-hop, you know, they tell stories about what's going on, what are we going to do about this, stuff like that. Or it's,
yeah,
just, like or
that.
It's just hip-hop. It's just poetry with a beat to it.
Yeah.
That's what I've always called hip-hop music. It's just poetry.
Yeah,
hey, anyone can say, anyone just put a nice beat. Someone can recite some Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great run. But when Humpty Dumpty fell off, hey, no one was there. Yeah. Well, heck, it was really great talking with you guys and everything else, but I would have to, is QT on the line?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, hey, I'm going to go ahead and pass this on over to QT, and I will check with you guys later.
Thank you.
Take care, man.
All right, QT, take it away.
Well, thank you, Randy. And from your questions, Randy, I have surmised that you would be very comfortable in a prison setting.
I only did maybe about a weekend stint in jail. Yeah, that was enough for me. I think it was the straw that broke the camel's back when we was in the cell and one dude ran around the pod butt ass naked. I was Lord, I'm never committing another crime again.
I think Randy would be making Pruno juice, jailhouse wine. Yes.
That's just a side hustle now. That's a side hustle.
Well, Jackson, what do you think of Luka Doncic, the guard for Dallas, who already has scored 3,100 points and has 1,100 rebounds, despite the fact that he is only 21 and he has missed quite a few games because of COVID-19 and ankle problems? What do you think of these outstanding numbers?
So I'm going to be 100% honest. I don't watch basketball anymore, so I don't know who that is. But I feel like, how many points did you say? Some crazy amount?
He's got over 3,100 points, and he's only been in the league. He's been in the league less than 2 years.
Well, that's pretty damn impressive. I'll say that. It's more points than I have. I'll tell you that.
Well, referee Matt, what rank did you top out at in the Marine Corps? What rank did you achieve?
I got retired as an E5, a sergeant.
No, okay. Well, on behalf of the Turnbuckle Terminal staff, we thank you for your service. Do you believe
you,
legendary Marine Corps General Chesty Poehler could have succeeded in today's NBA?
MMA, maybe. I don't know about the NBA. No, Chesty Poehler is he's a beast. So I don't think you'd want him on an NBA court, honestly.
Okay.
He would have done better in the wrestling business.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, I could see that. All right. Especially if he could time travel and challenge George the Animal Steel versus Chesty Poehler. I think that would have been great. Yes.
I would have been made a winner anywhere you go.
Well, how about legendary Marine Corps sniper Carlos Hathcock? How well could he have done in the NBA today, Carlos Hathcock?
Well, he was a hell of a shooter, so maybe he would have been a hell of a three-point shooter, too. I have no idea. Again, it's hard to take military people that are trained to kill and figure out which sport they would be best at. Like, it would just depend on what kind of athletic background they have.
Okay. All right. Well, referee Matt, when you were a teenager, how well do you think you could have done against Goldust in a game of horse?
Goldust. Probably would have purposely lost just to have hangout time with Goldust more as a kid, I guess, really. But after so long, I probably would have just put him away real quick.
Okay. All right. Well, Jackson Price, if Bill Walton could have time traveled, how well, in your opinion, could he have done against Wilt Chamberlain, keeping in mind that although Bill Walton was considered one of the top five passing centers of all time, Wilt led the league in assists one year. How well do you think a Bill Walton, Wilt Chamberlain matchup would have gone down?
Oh, man. Are you talking like one-on-one?
Yes.
I'd give it to Walton on that one. I think Chamberlain was better with the team. He needed that team behind him. I don't necessarily think he would have done so well one-on-one.
Well, there is – now, Wilt Chamberlain was very he was a multi-sport athlete. He did play volleyball after the NBA, and he did lead the NBA many seasons in shot blocking. And his strength was phenomenal. So I think he could have probably kept Walton from the hoop and blocked a lot of his shots. That's my opinion. Wilt was even a high jumper at the University of Kansas in 1958.
I did not know that. Damn, 1958. Whew. A while ago.
Something like that. Yes. You can see him on YouTube actually high jumping for the University of Kansas. And it's not the Fosbury flop that he uses. Yes. Okay. Well, referee Matt, although this has nothing to do with basketball, how did you like Stone Cold Steve Austin in The Longest Yard 2?
In The Longest Yard 2?
Yes.
I didn't even know there was a second one.
Oh, yeah, it has Adam Sandler in it.
Oh, just The Longest Yard.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought he did great.
I thought the great movie also did well.
I think honestly, every wrestler that was in that movie, especially Kevin Nash on the estrogen, I think they all did really well in that movie.
Okay. All right. Well, Jackson Price, Allen Iverson, was known for his crossover, and he even made Michael Jordan look foolish trying to guard it. My question is, was Allen Iverson's crossover as devastating as a great Collie claw hold?
I'm going to say it was more devastating because the claw hold is pretty weak from Collie.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yikes.
Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
All right. Well, guys, we got just a little bit of time left, and I want to make sure you have ample time to say anything and plug anything you'd like. So, Max Recon, if there's anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything, everything, social medias, upcoming shows, your favorite charitable organization, anything at all, floor is yours.
All right. So, my Twitter is @RefereeAJKissinger. That is what I actually go by, but I've been known as Max Recon since day one, so that's why I don't mind being called Max Recon. But yeah, Twitter is @RefAJKissinger. Instagram is Max Recon. Facebook is AJ Kissinger. And as far as shows, next Saturday, the 19th, I will be in South Bend, Indiana for RCW Revolution Championship Wrestling. Friday, September 25th, I'll be in Sellersburg, Indiana for Paradigm Pro Wrestling for their three-year anniversary show called Same Energy. The very next day, I will be back in Sellersburg, Indiana for Unsanctioned Pro. They are based out of Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. With Ohio still being shut down, they are doing a show called Indiana Vacation, and I'm telling you right now, it is going to be a banger. You won't want to miss it. And then future, October 9, 10, the 11th is the Collective. And I know for a fact I will be at the Paradigm show on Sunday evening, but I will be there all weekend because there are shows that I would like to get on if I can. I don't know. I'm assuming everyone has heard about the Collective and how awesome it's going to be. But one of the biggest shows that I hope everybody pays attention to, not to, that any of them are any less important, but for the culture, Friday evening, midnight, with everything, and I mean everything ugly that's been going on in the world, we know what it is. There's no need for me to repeat it. For the culture, for those that aren't wised up to it, it is the wrestling show that is for wrestlers of color, for black independent wrestlers. I hope I said that the right way. But this is a show about how great they are and can be. And I have no business being on that show, and I won't even ask to be on that show because that'll be opportunities for African-American referees to show that they can do their thing just as well. And I will be there supporting it. I hope everyone comes out to support it. It's going to be a top-notch card. Again, I have nothing to do with that show. I will get nothing out of this for pitching that show, but it deserves every bit of notice that it's getting. It's going to just be – it's probably going to be the best show of that entire weekend, and I'm not trying, again, to shame any of the shows, especially the one that I'm going to be on. But For the Culture is going to knock it out of the park, and I can't wait to witness it in person. So another one on there as well, Saturday afternoon. Again, a show that I have nothing to do with, and I'm not saying this to try to get onto these shows, but I don't have to be on a show love and wrestling is all about. You know, hey, you got a platform. Here's an opportunity. Go for it. Saturday, the very first show on Saturday is Effie's Big Gay Brunch. This is a show that is going to be for the LGBTQ, and I am also looking forward to that show as well. There's so many stereotypes, man. I'm so tired of it. People being hateful for no reason just because their lives are differently than others. And there are going to be some of the top performers that you can find in the United States wrestling on these shows. And I really hope that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the whole Indianapolis is just packed from start to finish. And it's going to be a long one. It's going to be from Friday noon till the last show is Sunday at 11:30 in the evening. So we're going to be busy. The wrestlers are going to be busy, referees, managers, anyone involved in wrestling, this is it. And I can't wait to be a part of it. And I really hope that a lot of new faces are seen. I hope opportunities for individuals that are hungry, I hope they show up and I hope they get a chance. That's what wrestling is all about in the end, is at least to me. Everyone deserves a chance. If you really want it bad enough, everyone should get at least one shot to show why they are worth having a look at. So that's where I'll be at. That's where you can find me. I appreciate you giving me your time and allowing me to be on your show. Jackson, I appreciate you letting me chime in here alongside with you. And I will quit bumping my gums.
All right. Well, thank you, Max Recon. We appreciate having you. Jackson Price, floor is all yours. If there's anything you want to say or plug or promote.
Man, well, I can't follow what Max said. He's got all this stuff. Good job. Man, there's so much wrestling on the East Coast. It sucks about being up here in the Pacific Northwest, especially right now since everything's shut down. So I respect that. I wish you luck with all those. I'm sure that's going to be a good time.
Thank you.
But I just throw out my Instagram page, which is Jackson underscore Price 7.2. And then my Facebook is just Jackson Price. You know, I try Twitter, but I can't do more than two social media things. I just can't keep up. So I'm on those two right now. I have some new merch that whenever we get started again, I'll be ready to push that. Little fun sneak peek. I am working on a new gimmick. So yeah, an actual gimmick. So I'm hoping to debut that somewhere. I don't know where. It's going to have to be the right situation. But so I'm working on that. And I got merch to go along with that as well. Otherwise, I don't have too much else to say.
All right. Well, Jackson, thank you for being on today. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Best of luck to both of you as shows start to open back up. Of course, in the Midwest, a little bit more freely right now than the Northwest, but hopefully that will change shortly. Fans, definitely, if you see Max is going to be at a show, go buy a ticket and support him. Same with Jackson Price. He is very fun to watch. So when the Northwest opens back up and he's back in a ring, go get a ticket and watch what he does. You don't see very many 7 feet tall independent pro wrestlers, and he's one of them. So definitely get yourself a ticket to see it. We'll be back with you next week. Next week we have all cruiserweights joining us. It is cruiserweight day next week, so make sure you have plans to join us. Stay safe out there, especially to the people here in the Northwest dealing with the wildfires and all the smoke in the air. So be safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Like this before.